Good afternoon, everyone. As I was preparing for this sermonette, I found a lot of my shortcomings. Hopefully, it'll help you find yours if you have any. So, question. Who is running the show? Who's in charge? Who is responsible for the final decisions? Let's take the time this afternoon and talk about these questions I just quoted to you. I will repeat them. Who is running the show? Who is in charge? Who is responsible for the final decisions? The past 10 years, I have had a lot of time to think about these questions, especially the first five in which I was laid off from the work in my career field. I went through 5 years of hard times, and I have just finished 5 years of the best times in my life, financially and spiritually. Question, why? Why did I and my wife have to go through these trials? Well, my wife had to because she was married to me. The problems were mine. You see, God has a plan for each one of us. Unfortunately, most of the time, we do not know when that plan is coming. We do not know if a trial or a blessing is coming. I am starting to understand after 10 years that I should know when God blesses me and when he blesses me with correction. 10 years ago, when God thought I was ready for a positive change, to be able to teach me who is running the show, who is in charge, and who is responsible for the final decisions, I had to learn through difficulties that he is running the show. He is in charge, and he makes the final decisions. He is the one and only final decision maker and the ultimate authority. I was unemployed for 11 months trying to figure out things on my own of what to do. He allowed me to wallow in my own mistakes for that amount of time. And I got to thinking, you know, I'm not making it on my own. Maybe I ought to start seeking God's help. So I started reading his words of wisdom regularly that have been translated in this book called the Bible, the Book of Instructions for All Mankind. I started spending more time talking to him. I started developing a relationship. And the more I studied and the more I prayed, the better our relationship became. Friends and brethren, this is what God wants for all of us, to have a better relationship with him. And it allows us to sooner have blessings instead of corrections. What I want to get across today, or this afternoon, is the importance of understanding authority and the responsibility demanded by God for each one of us. Authority comes in all kinds of examples. Take this local church that we are all sitting in right now. Denny Luker is the pastor. He's in charge. He's running the show. He makes the final decisions. And I personally think he's doing a good job. But you and I may not agree with some of his rules or regulations. And that's okay. My feeling is that if you or I disagree, then we should discuss that with him and him only. You see, God put him in this position of authority at this time, and he makes the final decisions. We should be showing honor to God, and he expects us to be responsible and show respect for those people like Mr. Luker that he has put in authority from presidents on down. Let's discuss everyday authority and responsibility. First, let's look at Webster's definition of authority. The power or right to command, act, enforce obedience, or make final decisions. Our lives are controlled by the authority of someone every minute of the day in some manner or another. If you or I happen to be the president, CEO, controller, director, manager, supervisor, or lead of some company, we are the authority in that position. We should have the ability to manage with love and respect for those people under our authority. People in authority can demand respect, but if they are overpowering and abusive, they will surely not get the same respect that they are demanding. Now, I've been a lead, a supervisor, and a manager, and I've come to find out that none of those positions were my calling. When you are in control over people, you have to understand what those under your command are capable of accomplishing, their abilities, good and bad, how they work and deal with their peers, how well they take instructions, the time it takes them to accomplish a task. Some employees are slow and very accurate. Others are fast and not so accurate. There are so many variables. The problem is that most managers of authority, which can be at any level, do not understand that it is their job to find out these variables in each employee in order to get the task at hand done well and in a timely manner. And it doesn't matter whether it's at work or it's at church or it's at home or where, it still works the same way. You see, I was one of those types of managers. I thought I could always do the task better and faster than anybody else who were under my control. I did not figure this out until later when I went back to becoming a layman, that I noticed that some of my peers were fast, some slow, some did their job above what was expected, and some, they didn't care because they were only there for a paycheck. What about authority in other places? Health clubs, libraries, restaurants, in our homes. There are rules, laws, and regulations, there will be somebody in authority. The mom or dad, the rules in our homes, an older teenager may be in charge of watching over a sibling. Our job as one in authority is to take charge in a godly way with love and compassion. This is called responsibility. For those people God has called, this is more than responsibility. We as God's people have this perfect opportunity when we are in authority to preach the gospel, mainly by our actions, our body language, our kind, loving words, showing compassion, being there when someone is in need. I'll give you a personal, unplanned example. I walk 2 to 3 miles every morning, and one of my favorite stopping places is at the end of Casper and Sunset Streets in Edmonds. They come to an end right at the water's edge, and there's a big rock that hangs out over the railroad tracks. And as you stand there and look out, you're seeing the sound, you're seeing birds, you're seeing ships, you're seeing whales, you're seeing seals, and you're seeing everything that is so beautiful. And one could only say at that moment is, thank you, God, for your creation, the one who's in authority. Well, 3 times I have met other people at this place, these were different times, who were really down in the dumps for whatever reason. I believe God had a reason for me to be at that place at that particular time. After talking to these 3 people, they all thanked me for lifting their spirits. One lady said I was an angel that had come at the moment to lift her heavy load. I quickly explained to her that I wasn't angel material as yet, but maybe someday. God, in His grace, put the right words in my mouth to lift the burdens of these 3 people at that very moment. God has given each one of us authority in our calling to preach the gospel in many ways. This example is one of them. 10 years ago, that would not have happened. God has allowed me to have the father-son relationship, which now allows me to be more loving, kind, and having compassion for others. And I am sure that in God's eyes, I'm still in the first grade, learning to become His son and do things more times right than wrong. Let's talk about authority in the Word of God. If you want authority in the highest position available, go to Genesis 1. How can one be higher in authority than the Creator? I challenge you to read the first two chapters in Genesis 5 times and then kneel down and thank God for his creation. Let's go to Numbers 10, 15 through 20. Now I got lost. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, 15 through 20. Only the Lord took enough pleasure in your ancestors to love them and choose their descendants after them, their descendants after them, yourselves above all people, as he still does today. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and don't be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God who has no favorites and accepts no brides. He secures justice for the orphans and the widow. He loves the foreigner, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, you are to love the foreigner since you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. You are to fear the Lord your God, serve him, cling to him, and swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great, awesome things, which you have seen with your own eyes. Your ancestors went down into Egypt with only 70 people, but now the Lord your God has made you numbers as many as the stars in the sky. How awesome God is. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. In verse 1 through 8, Moses is telling the people what blessings God will give them for keeping his commandments. Let's pick it up in verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a people separated out for himself, as he's sworn to you. And this is the condition. If you will observe the commandments of the Lord your God and follow his ways, then all the people on earth will see that the Lord's name, his presence, is with you, so that they will be afraid of you. Let's go to Joshua 1:5-9. No one will be able to withstand you as long as you live, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will neither fail you nor abandon you. Be strong, be bold, for you will cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers I would give them. Only be strong and very bold in taking care to follow all the commandments which Moses, my servant, ordered you to follow. Do not turn from either to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Yes, keep this book of the law on your lips and meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. Haven't I ordered you? Be strong, be bold. So don't be afraid or downhearted, because Adonai your God is with you everywhere you go. The Jewish Bible is very descriptive in God's opening words to Hosea. He says, go marry a whore and have children. You know, there's no mention that Hosea rolled his eyes a few times and told God, let's take a couple of minutes and think about this. He did as God told him. He married Gomer and had 2 sons and a daughter. Read it and see why he named the children as he did. He did as God told him. Here is an example of authority and immediate responsibility by Hosea. Brethren, this book has so much information about authority, the Bible, that it is mind-boggling. Read 1 and 2 Kings about the authority of King David and his son King Solomon. Go to Isaiah and read what Isaiah keeps telling the Israelites over and over, how God will bless them with conditions. They and we must follow his rules, the commandments. The point is, we are all under authority, no matter where we are. We are the authority of our bodies, how we eat, how we dress, how we keep our attitudes in check, and how we respond to others, hopefully with love and compassion. We can be under authority of someone else, and we are always under the authority of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But you see, it does not end here. You and you and you and I have a responsibility to give respect, to give love, to give compassion to those who rule over us. God demands it. We can also find things that happen out in the world. This month's Reader's Digest has a 24-page article written by honest people with authority. And one of the titles the title of this 24-page article is Advice to Live By. Take feedback, survive, be honest, talk to your parents, rise above, and many more. And at the bottom of each page is a cute little saying, and this one happens to fit my sermonette. Live your life so the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. I'd like to finish with Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessings and the curse. Therefore, choose life, so that you will live, you and your descendants, loving the Lord your God, paying attention to what He says, and clinging to Him. For that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you will live in the land the Lord swore He would give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, it's all so simple. You know, we fight everything that we do. And it's all so simple. In this book I have read time and hundreds of times, God tells you what He will give us. All we have to do is obey Him. So question, in regards to authority, where does the responsibility lie? I'm going to say it again. In regards to authority, where does the responsibility lie? You and me. Every one of us.